Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkiss Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
Coming up on this episode of The Entrepreneurial You.
We've seen that children show less internalization of moral standards when they're hit. This is opposite of what we want. We think we're teaching children appropriate behaviors and to emulate and develop those behaviors that are central to their behavioral health, but it has the opposite. They're not internalizing the standards that we want them to. They tend to show more aggression, more delinquent and antisocial behavior, and often there's poor parent-child relationship. They have mental health problems, and they have an increased risk of being a victim of physical abuse.
Hi, welcome to another episode of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. It is episode 226. Of course, I'm your host, Henneka Watkiss Porter. Before I get into the meat of the matter today, I have something I want to share with you. I've been sharing with you from last week. And I want you to know that your social media management can be made way easier. It can be far less time consuming than anything else you've ever tried. And so you'll be able to improve your team and your clients' collaboration and productivity. And I'm talking about eClincher. You can finally get around to doing that project you've always wanted to work on, but perhaps you felt you didn't have the time to do so. So visit the show notes page of this episode so that you can sign up for a 14-day free trial of the eClincher software. That's the eClincher app that will make it easier for you to manage your social media. So you get to have 14 whole days to figure out, is this for me? And you're going to find out, yes, it's actually for me. So let's continue. I'm really pleased to bring you another presentation from the Slow Down and Live Health is Wealth virtual event that was held in January of this year. I do hope that you were able to hear the episode last week with Dr. Nsambe Jaja when she talks about New Year, New You, Why Health is Wealth. So this week, we are picking up with presentations from Professor Jaipal, or presentation rather, from Professor Jaipal Roopnarayan on parenting and behavioral health in Caribbean children. Professor Roopnarayan is Professor of Human Development and Family Science at the University of the West Indies, St. Augustine, Trinidad and Tobago, from that campus there. Let's go right to it without any further ado.
It is a distinct honor to share our work on Caribbean children's behavioral health with you today. I'm Professor Jaipal Roopnarayan. I teach at Syracuse University in upstate New York, and I also teach Antetokounmpo University in Suriname. My focus today will be on family processes and behavioral health. So I want to focus on children's well-being and their behaviors as they relate to parenting practices and other risk factors within their home environment. Behavioral health focuses on the mental well-being of individuals and their ability to function in everyday settings. Individuals who struggle with their behavioral health often face stress, depression, anxiety, problems in interpersonal relationships, tensions, grief, and mood disorders. The ability to learn may also be affected. Most of you are perhaps familiar with the term mental health and behavioral health. Mental health covers many of the same issues as behavioral health. The term behavioral health entails factors that influence mental wellness, including substance abuse, behaviors, habits, and other external forces that affect children's well-being. During the COVID-19 pandemic, both parents and children have reported difficulties with their behavioral health. Adults often report difficulties with stress and coping, constant tensions, anxiety, emotional distress, nervousness, and depression. There's also been an increase in harsh parenting among families worldwide. Also, there is a chance of deteriorating relationships due to stress, other mental health issues, and increase in interpartner conflicts. The lockdowns have also seen increases in violence towards women and children worldwide. With respect to children, the concerns are with fears of the infection. There's frustration and boredom. And some complain about a lack of contacts with friends and teachers due to the isolation, a lack of personal space at home. Others display aggressive tendencies, separation fears, and clingy behavior, and constant tensions, agitation, nervousness and anxiety, and depression. However, researchers have also pointed to resilience in children during the pandemic. For example, children have demonstrated coping abilities through play, artistic expression, they've been unusually creative, and through altruism, that is showing kindness and moral concern for others. And they've also shown an appreciation for what they have, displaying a sense of gratitude. An example of coping, my colleague in Israel studied 3 to 9-year-olds, looking at their play. And she found that children use pretend play, fantasy play, and humor using pandemic themes to cope with lockdowns and social distancing. So children are showing quite a bit of resilience. And what do I mean by resilience? Factors that contribute to resilience in children include, but are not limited to, trusting relationships with adults and others, emotional support outside of the family, self-esteem, encouragement of autonomy, that is independence and independent activities, hope. Hope is at the heart of resilience, the way we explain things to children in a positive light, that the future will be better, responsible risk-taking, sense of being lovable, school achievement, belief in God and morality, and here's where spirituality may play a very important role. Unconditional love from someone, and the genetic makeup of the individual and temperament. You're African Caribbean from Trinidad and Jamaica, Indo-Caribbean from Jamaica, African Caribbean from Suriname, Javanese in Suriname, and indigenous groups in Guyana, or Indo-Caribbean immigrants in Trinidad and Guyana. Parents have two basic goals in child rearing. They want their children to develop a sense of agency and communion. What do I mean by agency? Children should be able to be self-assertive. They should show self-reliant behavior. And they should show prudential self-interest in the object and social world. We want them to be engaged in the object environment and have social interactions that would enable them to develop healthy relationships. The other factor is communion, pro-social engagement. What do I mean by pro-social engagement? We want children to show cooperation, empathy, moral concern for others. We want them to show altruism in others, that is kindness and helping others who are in distress. There are some societal concerns within the Caribbean region that affect both parenting and behavioral health. Crime and violence, they affect families directly or through neighborhood quality. Unsafe neighborhoods, children retreat, they can't go out into neighborhoods to talk with their neighbors or play in the streets or parks. Early entrance into parenthood, parenting practices themselves, harsh parenting, neglectful parenting, and including separation due to migration. Paternal instability, mate shifting and child shifting occur within the Caribbean, and fathers engage in different mating patterns where they may or may not reside with the child, and this may compromise their input in children's behavioral development. Persistent poverty, we know that worldwide poverty affects parenting and it weighs them down, and it has dire consequences in children's social cognitive development, not to mention the restricting the opportunity ladders they may have to progress in life. I just mentioned the COVID-19 pandemic, and it's a worldwide phenomenon, as we know, and it affects both families and children and communities. Mental health issues, suicide, substance abuse. The Caribbean region, for example, Guyana, Suriname, Trinidad, and Tobago, have some of the highest suicide rates in the world. And also, they have difficulties with substance abuse. some high rates in different island communities. And of course, the Caribbean is not immune to disasters. Disasters affect children in various ways. My work is cultures and developmental psychopathology. And it focuses on risks to children's social and cognitive development. And these risk factors emanate from the family and community, and they may impede or interfere with development. Some examples are harsh parenting, family violence, as in interpartner violence, domestic violence in general, protective factors. These lessen the impact or buffer the risks to childhood outcomes. For example, sensitive parenting, a secure attachment with a mother, father, or another caregiver who is consistently available to the child. Ties to caring adults in the community, in effect, emotional support from others, are some protective factors. We've been working, my colleagues and I have been working on risk and protective factors in the Caribbean region for over 20 years now. Our work is focused on positive parenting, that is sensitive social and cognitive engagement with children, such as reading to them, hugging them, displaying affection, warmth, and kindness. And this type of parenting is embraced by WHO and UNICEF, and they tend to recommend it worldwide in intervention programs. The other issue I'll focus on today is harsh parental treatment, in particular, how people discipline children, the different modes of discipline, and how they affect children's behavioral health. We've also done work on depressive symptoms across the Caribbean on different families and their impact in childhood development. I will talk a little more about intimate partner violence and its impact on children, and a study we did here in the United States. Neighborhood factors, the infrastructure, children may have limited access to libraries, playgrounds, spaces where they can be children. Neighborhood collective efficacy because of crime and violence, it may erode the social cohesion in the community. So this can also affect children's behavioral health. Racial ethnic socialization. What do I mean by that? This is cultural socialization where parents are teaching their children about heritage, pride, to believe in themselves, to develop positive ethnic identity. Religious socialization. This is not simply going to church, but talking to your children about spirituality as well. And then characteristics within children, their temperament, their own beliefs about child rearing and their parents. So these are some risk and protective factors that we have explored here in the Caribbean region. Today, I want to focus on three issues: parenting styles and practices and behavioral health, discipline and childhood behaviors, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, intimate partner violence and internalizing and externalizing behaviors in children, so depressive symptoms, somatic complaints, headaches, tummy aches, and then externalizing behaviors, aggressiveness, delinquency. Before I proceed, I want to talk a little about children's assessments of themselves. Researchers have looked at how children perceive themselves in terms of happiness and things that are currently afflicting their lives. And this study was done in Antigua, Bahamas, Barbados, the British Virgin Islands, Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, Jamaica, and St. Lucia. And as you can see, generally, children are quite happy across these island nations. Over 80% reported seeing themselves as happy. But there are also some concerns. Some of them see themselves as sad, less than 20%. Some of them worry about being physically abused, between 10 and 12%, depending on gender here. And some of them worry about being sexually abused in their communities or homes. Their rates of abuse seem very high as well. Have you ever been physically abused? Both boys and girls report about 15 to 16%. Ever being sexually abused, 10% in males and 9% in females. More recent studies in Suriname produce similar results. And these are, again, adolescent boys and girls, and they're reporting on events within their homes. So sexual abuse, about 16%, roughly 16% of boys and girls. And this occurs primarily within the family, with people whom they know. And outside the family, about 12, some children report 12 to 13%, 10 to 13% are abused by those outside the family and someone they know. Physical abuse by parents seem to be very high, and this may involve hitting the child, physically pulling the child, and so on. One other thing that we don't cover within the Caribbean region is psychological aggression. And several parents use this. What do I mean by psychological aggression? Berating the child, belittling the child, calling the child dumb, stupid, lazy. And in Trinidad in particular, they have the term, they call children you're hardened, meaning you're stubborn. And a number of them experience conflicts with their parents. And so these are some of the assessments of Caribbean children across the Caribbean and in Suriname. So what I'd like to talk about today is positive parenting as a protective factor. And this positive parenting involves sensitively attuned engagement with children, responding to the child, reading to the child, hugging the child, kissing the child, respecting the child's demands, using explanations. And this, these activities foster academic and social skills. And they are very important for children's transition to early schooling, educational success, and their overall social adjustment within the school environment, and how they interact with teachers and their peers. Positive parenting tends to insulate children from risks associated with neighborhood factors I talked about earlier on, crime and violence, lack of social cohesion, and collective efficacy, and poor infrastructure. Generally, in the number of studies we've done, we found two groups of parents in the Caribbean region, Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, and elsewhere. Parents tend to be high in warmth and low in harshness. And this tends to produce optimal behavioral outcomes in children. The other group is high in warmth and high in harshness. And this places children for behavioral and academic difficulties and risks. So not all parents show high warmth and high harshness, but they range considerably. So researchers have studied parenting styles, the emotive quality of parenting among Caribbean families. There are basically four styles that they've looked at. You're either authoritative, you use democratic means of child rearing, where you are reasonable, you solicit your child's input, you're warm, you set appropriate limits, developmental limits that match a child's level, and you value children's input. So there's quite a bit of warmth, but parents do have control over their children. The authoritarian is more autocratic. This person uses power assertive techniques. I'm the parent. You need to listen to me. They impose a lot of rules. They expect strict obedience and expect children to accept what they say. And then there are those who are permissive. They set few limits. They make few demands. They have low levels of control over children's behaviors. And the fourth type is uninvolved or neglectful. These parents are insensitive to their children's needs and often ignore them. So some researchers at the University of West Indies in Jamaica, Garth Lips and his colleagues, have studied these types of parenting styles across Jamaica, Bahamas, St. Kitts and Nevis, and St. Vincent. And as you can see, towards the left column here, a little over a third of parents across the island nations use an authoritative or democratic style. And about 20% roughly across the countries use an authoritarian style. And then a smaller percentage are permissive. But look at the neglectful category to the far right here. About 30%, less than, across the nations tend to be neglectful. So what are the outcomes of these types of parenting? Lips and his colleagues looked at depressive symptoms in adolescents. As you can see, the columns in red here, the authoritarian and permissive, tend to have adolescents with higher depressive symptoms. So if you're an authoritarian, you impose your will on your children, the children are more likely to show depressive symptoms than those who are authoritative, who reason with their children, and value their children's input. Permissive, it seems to be lower as well. But the neglectful, the depressive symptoms match those of the authoritative parent. So depending on parenting styles, you're affecting the behavioral health of your children. And we recommend the authoritative parenting style. We've also examined in a national study across Trinidad and Tobago, we examined parents' positive behaviors, rules, material rewarding, that is giving children objects or a treat, harsh parenting in terms of physical discipline. And again, we see the same mix. We see positive behaviors as well as rule orientation. So Caribbean parents use a lot of rules. They expect obedience in children and unilateral respect. So what do these outcomes produce, these types of investment in children? So parenting child behaviors in Trinidad and Tobago, high warmth and low harshness. Children tend to display more pro-social behaviors, helping, sharing, showing empathy for others, showing moral concern for others in distress. And these are types of behaviors that lead to healthy behaviors in young children and have a positive impact on overall behavioral health. They also have less internalizing behaviors, depressive symptoms, and less externalizing behaviors such as aggression towards others. So the takeaway benefits parental sensitivity that involves consistent warmth, sensitive engagement, and considers the child's input, tend to promote behavioral health in children. And we should emphasize this in the daily socialization of children to obtain socialization goals. I want to turn to modes of discipline. We've identified discipline in terms of positive discipline, where you use explanations, you redirect the child, you suggest the child do something else, and you take away privileges from the child. No hitting. Physical discipline, we differentiate physical discipline from harsh physical discipline. Physical discipline, you spank the child, you hit or slap the child in the bottom with a bare hand. Harsh physical discipline involves more severe physical activities with the child, like shaking the child, hitting the child with an object, pulling the child's hair, beating the child up. And then psychological aggression, berating or belittling the child, calling the child dumb, lazy, and so on. Well, harsh parental treatment has very negative consequences in children's behavior and behavioral health. Over 88 studies conducted in the U.S., we've seen that children show less internalization of moral standards when they're hit. This is opposite of what we want. We think we're teaching children appropriate behaviors and to emulate and develop those behaviors that are central to their behavioral health, but it has the opposite. They're not internalizing the standards that we want them to. They tend to show more aggression, more delinquent and antisocial behavior. And often there's poor parent-child relationship. They have mental health problems, and they have an increased risk of being a victim of physical abuse. In another study, researchers have looked at countries that have banned physical punishment, such as Sweden and elsewhere, where they've banned physical punishment and the humiliation of children, where you berate them. And countries that have not banned physical punishment. They studied a large, over 400,000 adolescents across 80-something countries. And they found that fighting is more common among males than females in school. And there's more fighting schools among children in countries that did not ban or partially ban physical punishment. So what does that look like? These graphs tell you, show you that where physical punishment is not banned in the home and school, boys in particular fight a lot more. Where there's a partial ban at school but not at home, again, boys fight more than girls, but you see a decrease. And where it's banned in the home and school, you see far less fighting in schools. We recently analyzed data from 25 African countries involving 32,000 families. We looked at the impact of harsh physical discipline, psychological aggression, and positive discipline, that is explanations and redirection on children's behaviors. Across these African countries, we found that harsh physical discipline, and psychological aggression, again, berating the child, are linked to more behavioral difficulties and poorer social skills in children. And similarly, psychological aggression was negatively associated with children's literacy skills. So these are 3 to 5 year old children. And we can see that these different modes of discipline not only affect their behavioral tendencies, but also their early academic competence. Across the Caribbean, we found that the negative effects of physical punishment and social behaviors in Jamaica, more physical punishment, more behavioral problems in Trinidad and Tobago, more harshness, less pro-social behaviors in Guyana, more physical punishment, poor language skills in Guyana and Dominican Republic. These findings are similar to those that I reported earlier, studies conducted in the United States and Africa. So we need to ask ourselves, how can we teach children to be kind to others and show social interest in the world and become cognitively and socially involved with adults when we hit and belittle them? It seems to send the opposite message. What is, we are modeling behaviors that are not kind to children. So this goes, again, against the grain of teaching them appropriate social behaviors and moral concern for others. Now, the final issue I want to talk about is violence in families, mainly interpartner violence. Before I do, though, I want to talk about the experiences of Jamaican children. This is one of my colleagues, Maureen Sams Vaughan. Maureen Sams Vaughan has done work in Jamaica, and she captured the exposure of children to violence in the home and community. If you look at this, about 70% of Jamaican children, young children, have seen somebody being beaten up. 53% have heard gunshots. 48% have seen somebody arrested by the police. And 39% have seen someone dealing drugs. And 38% saw a dead body. And 36% saw people getting stabbed. And 30% saw someone hit another adult in their home. So in the Caribbean region, in Trinidad and Tobago, in Guyana, Jamaica, and other countries, family violence and community violence can be high in different communities. So the World Health Organization and UNICEF, as well as CARICOM officials, have called attention to the increase in violence towards women and children due to the pandemic. So what are the effects of intimate partner violence on women? Some of the effects are tied to compromised physical and mental health. They have poor mental health and poor physical health. They're exposed to sexually transmitted infections. There are difficulties with issues tied to contraception. They may result in unintended pregnancy and poor pregnancy and birth outcomes. Now, the effects on children are equally as distressing. Some children can get injured in attempts to protect a parent who is being hit by a partner or their father or mother. And they risk being isolated due to the abuser's behavior. And they are the recipients of violent acts directly. There are constant stress and tension in their lives, and they are more likely to show internalizing and externalizing behaviors, display trauma symptoms, and they are more prone to child neglect very early in life. So, Ken, what we did in the U.S., we analyzed a large data set on couples who went to relationship skills education across 8 sites in the United States. There were over 4,000 men. And some of the men received relationship skills education. that focused on communication skills, appropriate management strategies, and emotional intimacy between couples. What do I mean by appropriate management strategies? Some people use constructive conflict behavior where they can pull back and stop arguing with their partners. Others use destructive conflict behaviors where they blame the partner, bring up past ills, they engage in name calling, verbal assaults. So we wanted to see whether these relationship education classes that occurred over 6 months, 1 to 3 hours per week in group settings, would reduce the effects of interpartner violence on children's behavioral difficulties. And what we found for those who did not receive the intervention, the impact between interpartner violence and behavioral difficulties was direct. It tended to lessen the impact if they went to relationship skills education and worked in communication skills, they worked with their partners. And family intervention workers also offered support services and directed them to jobs. So the couples who receive relationship skills education, the impact on IPV towards internalizing and externalizing behaviors seem less severe. But by and large, most studies have shown that violence within families have dire consequences for children's emotional health and other aspects of their academic functioning. Now, let me summarize. It is possible that positive parenting has more dramatic effects in insulating children from stresses due to the pandemic. So we need to emphasize this among families through radio spots, through television, through social media. At the same time, the use of harsh discipline can also exacerbate or increase the effects of other stressful experiences due to the pandemic. And the impact of IPV in children may become magnified during isolation due to lockdowns and limited access to personnel and mental health services. So summary and recommendations. We need to implement laws that ban physical punishment at home and at school. And I know there are disagreements about this, but there needs to be discussion around these issues. Physical punishment is very harmful to children. And that includes psychological aggression, where we verbally assault children. We need to introduce relationship skills education classes for men that focus on communication skills, appropriate conflict management strategies, and emotional intimacy between couples. And we need to develop parenting programs for mothers and fathers that emphasize active engagement in social and cognitive activities that would foster the behavioral health in children. In our work in Trinidad, we found that men who resided with their children, it tended to improve children's academic skills and social functioning. I thank you very much for this brief introduction to some of our work on behavioral health in children. Thank you again.
How was this episode with Professor Roopnarayan for you? And I want to kind of help you to bring it home by sharing some main takeaways. Family processes and behavioral health focuses on the well-being of children and their behavior. Behavioral health focuses on the mental well-being of individuals and their ability to function in everyday settings. Behavioral health equals mental health. Consistent, warm, sensitive engagement, as well as considering a child's input, tends to promote behavioral health. Positive parenting results in sensitively attuned engagement, fosters academic and social skills, insulating children from risks associated with their neighborhood. Now, it's your turn to tell me what stood out to you the most. And you can tweet at me on Twitter, of course, at the Entrep U, TheEntrepYOU, and let me know. I certainly look forward to connecting with you next week. In the meantime, visit the show notes page on HennikaWatkisPorter.com to grab your free ebook on Ease, the naturally relaxing magnesium. In this free ebook, you will receive general use instructions, custom relief tips, answers to common questions, and you'll hear success stories from entrepreneurs like yourself. If you wish to try or need to replenish your supply of Ease Magnesium Spray, simply click the link in the ebook. And here's this week's point of hope. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12, verse 2. What good?
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.